Good morning, everyone. I know most Christians have their own favorite Bible verses. I don't know which ones are yours. One of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I first heard about this verse when I was a new believer, and I was attending my very first summer conference in Hong Kong. I was deeply touched by the unreserved love of God to humankind. He gave up his most precious for us, and that he's willing to give us everything. At that moment, God used this verse to call me into full-time ministry. The other, my favorite verse is from what we just read, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Before going to my first missions field, which is Turkey, in 2002, I printed these two verses on the invitation card of my commissioning service. Today, we are going to share how true these verses are from our life experiences. And the theme of today's sharing is God's ways and thoughts are much higher than ours. So before sharing our life experiences, I would like to give you a little bit of background of these two verses. First of all, the book of Isaiah is written by the prophet Isaiah. So Isaiah means Yahweh is salvation. Isaiah condemns the sins of Judah that they rebelled against God, following the Gentiles to worship idols. He also warns them that God was going to punish them, to judge them by using the Gentiles. So in chapter 40 to 55, it is addressing to the exiles in Babylon. So at the end, they were going to be in Babylonian captivity. So God comforts his exiled people by promising that he is going to deliver them. So while in exile, God's people would be questioning. They are confused. They started to doubt about their faith. Is our God really faithful? Is he really more powerful than the gods of Babylon? If he is really powerful, why he didn't protect us? So the passage we read today are dealing with these questions. Isaiah reassures them God is faithful, just, and righteous. He points out what they've suffered is from God's will because God has already warned them. Don't follow the Gentiles to worship the idols. But at the same time, he prophesies that God will deliver them because God is a compassionate God. And Isaiah prophesies that his people will return to Judah, rebuild Zion, and God will manifest his glory. So in chapter 55, Isaiah points out that God's gracious thoughts exceed all human imagination. No one can fathom the depth of his wisdom. And in verses 8 to 9 we read, God's thoughts are deep and creative, vastly superior to the expectations of human intuition. So in the immediate context, this is an appeal to people to exchange their sinful thoughts and ways for God's ways and thoughts, which are higher, nobler, and magnificent. And broadly speaking, God, the incomparable creator, is far above his finite creatures and beyond their ability to describe him or comprehend him fully. Human beings are limited. Our knowledge about our God is always partial and imperfect. But because God is perfectly wise in all his thoughts and ways, his people can take great comfort during hardship, even though they cannot understand the mysteries and tragedies of life. I've been Christian for over 30 years now. From what I've experienced in the past 30 years, I can testify that God's thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts and ways are far higher than my thoughts and my ways. So before going to the Bible college, I thought, I'll go to the Bible college until my parents accept the Lord, so that they will not only object me, but will support me. But then God was urging me to step out of faith. So, and he also gave me promises. And then I decided to go without my parents becoming Christian. But to my surprise, my parents didn't object my decision. And in my last year in the Bible college, they accepted the Lord. And during my graduation, they came to Singapore, because I was studying in Singapore Bible College. They came to Singapore to participate in my graduation ceremony. God is so faithful. His ways are higher than ours. And before entering the Bible college, I was very clear that God wanted me to become a missionary. While studying in the Bible college, I thought, it would be nice if I could meet someone with the same vision, same calling in the college, so that we can go to the future together, so that my parents wouldn't have to be worried about me. But God didn't prepare anyone during the 3 years of Bible college. When I looked back, I realized God wanted me to learn to trust in him alone. So I went to the missions field as a single lady. And then God showed me clearly that Turkey was my missions field. I was planning to be in Turkey for all of my life until God takes me home. Just like many missionaries from Britain, from Europe, from US, they were buried in China. So I wanted to be buried in Turkey. Besides, I was thinking I might meet someone in the field who's either a missionary or a local believer, so that I can be more contextualized. But I could never imagine that God let me meet someone from Morocco. So he's a Moroccan believer, and God brought him from Morocco to Turkey, and then we met. So now I'm going to ask my husband, Fuad, to come and share about his story and to see how God's leading him and how God has changed him.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Fuad Haf, and I'm, as you hear from my wife, I'm from Morocco. I grew up as a devoted Muslim. Since the age of five. My mother passed away when I was born, and when I was 12, my father passed away. I grew up with a stepmother who did not treat me well. She used to tie my hand and my legs together, and she would beat me for hours with reason or no reason. She did the same to my sister. And I grew up as a person who hated everyone. I hated humanity. I hated animals. I hated anything that moves. But I'm still a good and strong Muslim. Hate and Islam, they go together most of the time. And then, when I was 16, I became a part of an Islamic group. We go to villages and teach people how to clean up themselves and how to do the five prayers, and also help them to memorize some Quranic verses. My parents, they were atheists. They don't believe in God. I was the only one who was a Muslim who practiced Islam. As my wife said, everyone has his favorite or her favorite verse. My favorite verse is in John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So how come a Moroccan, a devoted Muslim, come to faith? When I was 16, I started hearing a lot about Christianity. There was a guy from South Africa who attacked very strongly Christianity, and he will show some contradiction and mistakes in Christian faith, and especially from the New Testament. And the best friend of my father was a Moroccan Christian, and they were the only people that I let into my life. And I was taking those references and going back and trying to convert this family to Islam. But after several conversations and many books reading, I come to the point that Islam is a fake religion. It's made by Satan. I come to a conclusion that the Quran is not the word of God. And the most of all, I come to understand that Muhammad is not a prophet from God, because he does not bear the fruit of a prophet. I lived around since the age of 16 to the age of 21, since the age of 19 to the age of 25 with no religion. But at the same time, I'm not like my parent. I do believe that there is God. And I start looking for the real God, and how can I become a person who knows the true God. I asked this question to the best friend of my father, and I start reading, and I understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's God, but it's just in my mind, it never goes to my heart. And one day, I was pushed by the Holy Spirit to move from my city, to leave my work. I used to have a very good job, and to go to the somewhere. I didn't know where, but I just have no power, because that voice was more powerful than me. And I went to the north of Morocco, to the city of Tangier. And the next day, I meet with someone where we meet, and I share with him my story, that I'm looking for a job, and and was asking about the industrial zone. We end up going together to live in the same hotel. And when I went in to take shower, I went out, I figured out that he stole all my money and my belonging. And in our culture, there is shame and honor. It's shameful for me to go back and ask the help of the family or friends. And then whenever I have problems, I used to go to the seaside and start talking to God. Then I went to the seaside, and I say, "Oh God, you know, when I was born, you took my mother. When I was 12, the time that I needed my father, you took him too. You know the way I grew up? I'm passing from a problem to another problem. And you know the problem that I have now. And suddenly, I remember how the best friend of my father used to share with me how God will help people who pray in His name and will support them in their difficulties. Then I prayed and I said, okay, if you are truly God, if Jesus Christ is truly God, here I am. Now I have a problem. I want you to help me to find a job, and I want you to help me to find a place to stay. And the next day, I found a job, as I asked, and I found a very good place to stay with a German family. And then I knew that this is not something that can happen by a coincidence, but it is God's work. I wrote a letter to the best friend of my father. I shared with him the story that happened to me. And I told him, now I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is God. And He can show Himself to people, because He does show Himself to me. I become a Christian, but I decided not to share my faith with others. And as a beginner in faith, I struggle a lot with faith, with love, because I'm full of hate, and I never experience love. I never feel love. I would use this psychological identification is I was like a psychopath. And people in the Moroccan church, they will start telling me that they love me and they care for me, but I found it weird and I found it very difficult to believe. And one day, a friend of mine, I will call them my godparents, they come and they ask me if I'm willing to go with them to a conference in another city called Marrakesh. I rejected the invitation twice, and the third time I did accept to go, but with a condition that no one would approach me and talk to me. I just want to be left alone. The first day passed, no one talked to me. I was okay, all right. The second day, the same. The third day, once the preacher start preaching, he was talking about how the church should be together, how to live as a Christian, and it was more about love. And suddenly I was filled up with the Holy Spirit, and I start crying and weeping and hugging everyone around me. And the pastor stopped his speech, and we all start crying, and everybody was full of joy, because we all know at that time that I was filled up with the Holy Spirit. Then after the conference was over, in my way back to Tangier, I have decided to visit my stepmom. I went to her and I washed her feet, and while I was washing her feet, I start telling her how much she hurt me. I start telling her what she did to me. And I told her that I forgive her. When I lift up my head, I see her crying. We hug each other and she said, no, it's me who need to ask the forgiveness. And I am sorry for all what happened from me. My second verse that I like, it's one day I was doing a devotion, and as I share with you that I keep my faith for myself, and I read this verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, where Apostle Paul said, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him." As you know, it's not easy to tell people that I become Christian. It will threaten my life. It will prevent me from my privileges, and I will lose my family and my friends. I was motivated by the word of God, and I start sharing the gospel with my friends. I start sharing the gospel with my family, and everybody knew that I become a Christian. I was arrested for my faith, and after that, I was exiled from my country. I was kicked out from Morocco. The Moroccan intelligence, they took me to the border between Morocco and Mauritania, and they left me there. And then there, I went to Nouakchott, the capital of Mauritania. I asked for asylum, and I started my life there, sharing the gospel in Mauritania, working for an organization called Foundation Nora. And then when 9/11 happened, I have to leave the country because most of the foreigners left Mauritania. I have to go to Turkey, but I have no money. I waited for a while trying to save money. At the end, I decided to leave by faith. When I left Mauritania, I left with $84. And God has provided all the way through 12 countries my needs. And I will have every single day my three meals and a place to sleep until I make it to Turkey. In Turkey, I ask another asylum, and it's there where I started again serving and volunteering with some Christian organization, and I meet with Isabella, and then when we meet, we were just friends. We were serving together in an organization helping refugees, and I was also working with the church. I will now, just to conclude my sharing, the person who I am today is not anymore the same person. Now the hate gone long time ago. My anger is gone long time ago. The people who hurt me, most of them already passed away, and they have my forgiveness. And if anyone still have something in their heart and they cannot forgive, I think forgiveness is a healing process for us. We should forgive people who did bad to us in order for us to receive also God's forgiveness. I will pass the speech to my wife, Isabella.
God is so good, right? Yeah, so we met in Turkey. We were in the same church. And then Canadian government accepted him, and then he came to Canada in 2004, in the end of 2004. When in Turkey, we were just friends. And then after coming to Canada, he started to propose to me. I had a big struggle because I was clearly sure that God called me to Turkey. But now, because of this guy, I had to go to Canada. So I struggle a lot. And at that time, I was in Turkey for over 4 years. And I prayed and fast and asked God if I had to go to Canada. But then, you know, God gave me the confirmation. So I came in 2006 to marry him. When I first came, I have set up my mind. Once I got my citizenship, once we got the same passport, we'll leave. We'll go to either North Africa or Middle East to serve the Lord. But then, while I was having my citizenship around that time, he decided to go to Bible college. So he went to study in the Bible college, full-time studying, full-time working, and he graduated in 2017. So we waited and waited, and then until last year, actually before and after his graduation, we were praying about now where we are going, what we can do for God. So we were thinking of North Africa, thinking of Middle East, But then it seems like God hasn't opened the way. And then last year, in the beginning of the year, we've decided to go to Morocco for a visit. Number one, to test if he has any problem in entering the country. Number two, he needs to visit his families. And then number three, we want to know whether this is the place that God wanted us to go. So I tried to look for air tickets, and then I found out it's so expensive. The one person's ticket is more expensive than two people going to Hong Kong. So I said, I cannot buy the tickets, too expensive. And then around this time last year, my mom suddenly had a heart attack. So she has to do some kind of operation. So I flew to Hong Kong for about 10 days. My purpose was to take care of my mom after her surgery. But then because of pneumonia, she couldn't, you know, do any surgery. So I was in Hong Kong. She was staying in the hospital. And even I came back. So during the 10 days in Hong Kong, I was so busy visiting her, cooking and buying something that she likes, because when you have pneumonia, you don't have any appetite. So I was too busy to see anyone. So unless people come to see my mom, then we could see each other. So except one couple. This couple, they were serving in Turkey for over 20 years. And then when I was in Turkey, they were like my family. So we went out for lunch, and then they asked me, have you ever thought of coming back to Hong Kong since your parents are aging? I said, yes, we thought about it before, because in the past 2-3 years, my mom and dad, they were taking turns in being hospitalized. So we thought about that. But then the problem is, I can serve in a church or in a missions organization. What about Fuad? He doesn't know the language. What can he do? Then my friend said, do you know that there are many churches and organizations, they want to reach out to Muslims and African refugees, but they don't know how to do it, and they don't have the right people to do it. He said, for example, I don't know the Quran, but I have to teach about Islam in a seminary. He said, your husband, he knows Arabic, he knows French, he knows their culture, he knows Quran well, and now he's just graduated from the Bible college. He's the right person. I said, oh, wow, right. And then he invited me to a prayer meeting on a Thursday morning, which is for pastors and for people working for the organizations. So the organizer were expecting 20 people, but it turned out there were 40 to 50 people show up. So this prayer meeting were for the Muslims. So God showed me through this prayer meeting that, yes, there are many people, many churches, they want to reach out to Muslims. So I got connected with some like-minded people. And then since we couldn't go to Morocco last year, so we went to Hong Kong again in September, and just to meet with those people and then to talk about the future cooperation. So we decided to go to Hong Kong, and then we joined an international organization. Actually, when I first told Fuad about Hong Kong, he was very excited. But then I was still not 100% sure. Until the last day, I had to come back to Vancouver. I went to visit my mom for the last time. When I was leaving the hospital, she was hugging me and weeping. It seems like, you know, she was really helpless and being deserted. My heart was broken at that time. And then when on the way to the airport, I was also weeping. And then I had a prayer. I said, God, I know, I'm sure now it is time for us to go back to Hong Kong. And I know this decision is pleasing you, because you want us to honor our parents, and we want to take care of them until they see you. So now we are preparing to go to Hong Kong. So our ministry will be reaching out to Muslims, and they are very aggressive in Hong Kong. They go to the universities, they request for prayer room, and they organize some seminars just to do apologetics against Christianity. And they request for land to build their mosques. And their numbers are increasing. So we want to go to talk to them, to have conversation with them, because Fuad is very familiar with the Quran, so he can just point out some mistakes
some errors in Quran, and then they to stimulate them to think. And then we also want to mobilize Hong Kong churches to reach out to Muslims, to African refugees. And we also want to train and equip the local believers as well as missionaries. They want to reach out to Muslims. So and we want to also build up a network in Hong Kong so that we can all work together to reach out to these two people groups. So we need your prayers, and we are going to go to Ontario for our orientation and training in the end of April, and then we are planning to be in Hong Kong in early June, so we will start our ministry over there. And so we need your prayer to support us, to ask God to protect us. Since we decided to go to Hong Kong, we can feel that there is spiritual warfare. Number one, Fua has been having health issues since summer. So he's just been recovered in these few weeks. So he's still on sick leave. And then number two, our car had transmission problem in November. And then recently there's tire problem. And we believe that there will be more attacks. But we also believe that God is more powerful and he can protect us. So we need your prayers to ask God to send the angels to protect us, and also we are preparing for to sell our stuffs, our furniture, our car, and we need to pack and ship some stuff to Hong Kong, and we are still doing fundraising. So just pray for us. So if you are interested in receiving our prayer letters, there is a form outside you can fill up and write down your name and then your email address, and there's also a response form. At the end, I would just want to share something to end our sharing. God's ways of doing things are different from our expectation because God is completely different from us. When I can see there are so many young people here, when you are reflecting your life, you're planning about your future, or some people you are struggling, you have some disappointments, remember, God is God, we are not. He normally doesn't work in the ways as we expect. I'm quoting from a professor in Tyndale, but not word by word. He said, "Trusting in the Lord definitely won't make us safer, but we will have incomparable security. Even though we cannot understand even some circumstances, even though something doesn't make sense to us, we can still trust in God and worship him, because our God is faithful and good. May all the glory to our God, Jesus Christ."